Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are up to Parshat Mishpatim. That's right. We got the Aseret HaDibrot last week, and we are now on to many, 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 many laws. Actually, the transition between them is fascinating, but there are so many things that are fascinating in this week's Parsha. But, of course, before we begin, I want to mention that this year is sponsored L'Iloi Nishmat Chaya Rachel Bat David Tzvi. May her neshama have an aliyah. And again, if anybody would like to get my weekly Divrei Torah, which is different than the one I am giving right now, and the one I give Thursday night is different than the one I send out, you know, please let me know or let the people at Sheer Enjoyment know. Again, my email is Yisachor, C-H-G, that's spelled Y-I-S-S-O-C-H-O-R-C-H-G at gmail.com. Also, Baruch Hashem, I have a safer out, so if you have not seen the advertisements for that, please check out. It's called Parsha Ponderings. It's available on Amazon, Kitav, and also on Eichler's, and it's available at a few other bookstores. Anyway, so let's get started with this week's Dvar Torah. So there is an interesting anomaly that occurs in this week's Parsha. I'm sure there's more than one. But anyway, in Perek Chaf Bet Pasuk Chet, Torah writes, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Seth. For every act of liability regarding an ox, a donkey, or a sheep. I'll say that's another question. But the pasuk lists the term shor, ox, before chamor, donkey. However, in the next pasuk, the Torah writes, ki ten ish al reyehu chamor, o shor, o seth, when a man shall give his fellow a donkey, an ox, or a sheep. So that's a different order than the previous pasuk, so obviously something's up. In fact, most cases when the Torah lists both an ox and a donkey, the ox comes first, which seems logical. An ox, or a shor, generally has the greatest market value, and is also generally the most useful of the three animals in an agricultural society, as most societies were back then. Now, donkeys were tend to be a little more valuable sometimes due to the nature of traveling, but in terms of utilitarian purposes, you know, certainly an ox was very, very valuable. In Parsha Ki Tetzeh, interestingly enough, the Torah, specifically Perek Chaf Bet, also Perek Chaf Bet, by the way, which is interesting, I guess, Pasuk Dalet, the Torah once again lists chamor, donkey, before shor, ox. As it says, lo tir'eh et chamor echecha o shoro nefalim b'derech. You shall not see the donkey of your brother or his ox falling on the way. So there must be some connection between these two psukim, the one in our Parsha, Parsha Mishpatim, and the one in Parsha Kitetzin. So what specifically is the connection between these two, and why is it specifically in these two instances that the terms are reversed? Where the donkey is listed before the ox, whereas every other situation, seemingly, the ox is listed before the donkey. So the terms shor and chamor come up in many, many different places, many times in conjunction with one another, including even in the Gemara, but we'll stick to the Torah for now. They're mentioned by Yaakov meeting Esav, which is pertaining to property, again, a notion of value, and therefore, in terms of just total value, shor comes before chamor. And two times earlier in this week's Parsha, this combination also occurs, once by damages to an animal and once by theft of an animal, both of which involve payback of value. And generally, in that society, a shor, an ox, was worth more than a chamor, which in turn was generally worth more than a sheep. Well, almost always worth more than a sheep. However, in the first instance, where the terms are reversed, not the total first instance, but the first instance where they're reversed, it's referring to borrowing an animal. And therefore, it's a function of utilitarian or normative value rather than monetary. And I had mentioned, possibly to throw you off, that an ox was more utilitarian because of the agricultural society. However, not everybody was privy to own land. And people often had to travel to and fro, right, to distant lands, things like that. But even if you were a farmer and you did grow crops, you still had to go to market and you had to carry heavy burdens and you couldn't bring your oxen from the field, you know, to the marketplace, right? Or to other, you know, towns to pick up, you know, supplies, things like that. So you had to get these big heavy plows and whatever else you needed, maybe not plows, but like parts or produce that you had to, you know, plant or whatever it was you needed, right? Whether for merchants or for farming, whatever it was, you needed donkeys for that. Or, you know, a lot of your other stuff with the oxen would be non-starters. Like, you needed the donkeys first, right, before you could do anything. Like, you had to get your material, right? You had to get what you have to work with before you can do the work with the ox. You need to get stuff. And how do you get stuff? By carrying it on a beast of burden, which was typically a donkey. So therefore, in that respect, even though per function, an ox may be a little bit more useful overall, in the scheme of things, a donkey actually had the greatest utilitarian value, not an ox. So it's a little counterintuitive, but you have to think about the way I'm phrasing it. And therefore, there's also a second component to it as well. People often had only one donkey, maybe two, if they had something, or they would have to borrow a donkey, whatever it might be. But people who plowed regularly and had big fields and worked agriculturally often had many oxen. So it's a second piece of it. If you lost one ox, I mean, you'd lose a very valuable animal, but it wouldn't necessarily halt your farming abilities. Again, some people may have only had one ox. But a lot of times people had pairs of oxen or multiple sets of oxen. So your work might be more difficult, it might be limited, you do more slowly, you can only do certain work, but it wouldn't completely handicap you. But if you lose your one and only donkey, and people generally had fewer donkeys than they did oxen, then your whole travel might be put aside, like you're just stuck. So therefore, when a person loses a donkey, it sometimes is much more of a problem than when a person loses an ox. So there's two possible reasons why a donkey might take precedence, and especially when it's a function of losing that animal. And therefore, when you're looking for one of those animals, a donkey kind of takes precedence. Now, sheep comes third because a sheep has less utilitarian value. It's used for its wool or milk, neither of which are generally considered dire needs, at least certainly on a short-term basis. And also, sheep are generally much, much cheaper and much more plentiful than donkeys or oxen. So it makes sense that's third. So we understand now in our parsha why the terms are reversed, specifically by finding the animals, because a donkey has so much greater utilitarian value and is perhaps more unique, that's why it comes first. What about Parshat Ki Tetzeh? There, because it's likely to be the burden that falls the weight under what it's carrying, in Parshat Ki Tetzeh, it talks about the fact of helping an animal which is carried under a burden, where the animal falls over or just can't go on because of the heavy burden. What's much more likely to be a beast of burden, and that is a donkey, much more than an oxen, right? Oxen will pull heavy loads, but they won't often have heavy loads on them. So therefore, it's much more likely and logical that you would have a donkey come first in Ki Tetzeh when you're talking about rescuing an animal from under a burden. We also get an additional insight by the fact that the Torah uses the term chamor achicha, the donkey of your brother. So there's often a personal attachment to one's donkey. The oxen, they do the work, and you know, people always have attachments to their large farm animals, to the cows, things like that. But people often, again, I can't relate because I never worked with an ox, but it seems like it's much more work-oriented relationship, right? You know, put the yoke on it, plows it, you know, okay, good, you did your work, put it back in the stable or whatever you do with an ox. But a donkey, you ride on it. You spend much more time. You're literally sitting on that animal much of the time. You're spending time with it. You're standing next to it in the market. You get to know that animal better, and therefore there's more, I mean, it's not a person, obviously, but there's much more of a personal relationship, seemingly, with a donkey than there is with an ox. So therefore, there also could be more of a greater sense of gratitude with when a person is helping the beast of burden, the donkey, which has a greater personal relationship. And that's another reason why it comes first. Now, Chazal teach that the word chamor, donkey, is actually related to the word chomer, which means material. When one looks at the value of something material, one should not look simply as money or value, but how is this object, this material, intrinsic and useful? We're not ascetic people. We can have material wealth, you know, certainly food, but we do not refrain from material objects or pleasures, but have to use them in a proper and heightened manner in a way that Hashem deems appropriate. And perhaps this is why the chamor is actually the only non-kosher animal that requires redemption, right? We have to redeem firstborn animals. There's a couple other animal laws that only generally include kosher animals. However, the donkey is included in them, especially the terms of the firstborn. It's a special exception. The only non-kosher animal is a donkey, right? And that's perhaps a reminder. Perhaps it's a reminder to elevate the chomer, the material in our lives, and to look at things from a, like, how everything can be precious to us, but everything can have a utilitarian value. And we shouldn't focus on how much monetary value something has, but how much intrinsic and also personal value things have. I wanted to also thank Isaac Kotlicki for helping me put this Torah together, and wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.